Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name, Jesus. For we thank you for another broadcast. A Saturday with the Word. Thank you, Jesus.
We wait for you. We wait for you. Walk in the room. We wait for you.
thank you so much for joining in with us this evening. On Saturday, with not the Word, but the Word of God, we want to welcome you to another broadcast of Kingdom Builders Internet Radio. We're here every Saturday, same time, same place. We're here at 7 p.m. Central Time. This is Prophetess Teresa Phillips Dox, and I'm here excited and delighted to be bringing the word to you today. Yes, 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 for truly God is doing something new in our lives. You know, right now we are under an open heaven. Yes, I decree it, I declare it, and it is so. In the matchless, wonderful, marvelous name of Jesus. Oh, yes. And you know what? I am excited about it. Let me just lift the lines up. Rekorabosha, with a word of prayer. I'm going to cover the lines. And I'm going to cover you with the blood of Jesus. For as the word of God goes forth, that your ear gates will be open and you're able to hear what God is doing, how God is moving in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you for another broadcast, God. We thank you, Lord God, that you have always made a way out of no way. Father, we thank you, Lord God, because you are so very faithful to us. Father, we thank you, Lord God, because we understand, Father, that it's all about the kingdom. Father, we ask you right now that you would cover your people who are called by your name, that you would cover them with the blood of Jesus, that you would keep them sound, you would keep their minds, their ear gates open, Father, so that they can hear your voice. And Father, we glorify you this evening. We magnify your holy name, and we thank you for what you're going to do, how you're going to move. We are in great expectation of what you're going to do this evening. And we thank you that the people shall receive what you're saying in the mighty, marvelous, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. And glory to God. Well, we're going to be coming to you with a word from the Lord. And we're going to ask you, as we prepare the scriptures, we're going to ask you to get your Bibles out and get ready. Hallelujah. Get ready, get ready, get ready. For God is about to speak. And as we play just a portion of a song, we'll be right back in just a few moments. God bless you.
Thank you.
Glory to God. We're back with you. We're just going to ask you to get your Bibles out and get prepared for the Word of God. Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus. We're going to be talking about tonight the cleansing power of God. We know God is omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He is all of that. All of that, yes, he is. Yes, he is. We're going to be in Isaiah 6, verse 1 through 10. For God is so very faithful to us. Yes, he's faithful. He's more faithful to us than we are to ourselves. And I just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for your cleansing power. Thank you for your resurrection power. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you look beyond our faults, Lord God, and you saw our needs. And I just say thank you, Lord. You know, for truly there is no one greater than our Father. No one's greater. And he has a cleansing power. The power to clean us up. Even when we don't know that we need to be cleaned. We don't know when we need to be cleansed. Amen, 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 amen. You know, I am excited tonight because I understand that God is doing something new in our lives. And we are under an open heaven. So this is the time that if anything was ever going to happen in your life for change to come, this is the time to embrace it. Whenever there's an open heaven, oh yes, we are under an open heaven. God want to clean us up. He want to fix us up. He want to send us out. He want to get us ready so that we can be a blessing to the people of God. So that we can not only be considering ourselves, but we will consider others. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. So as I said, we're going to be talking about the cleansing power of God. Amen. And you can get your Bibles out and turn to Isaiah. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. And I'll give you a couple moments to get the scripture. We're going to flip through the scriptures tonight. For truly God has cleansing power, and we have to understand that God want to clean us up. He want to perfect us. He want to get us to that place where he wants us to be. Praise the name of Jesus. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high, and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You know, the Word of God is just so, so very blessed. You know, when I just read the Word of God, there's a joy that comes in my spirit. So we're talking about it was about 740 BC when King Uzziah died. And Isaiah had a vision. And you know, sometimes prophets and rulers, you know, and even those that have that call on their lives that you're a seer, you might have a vision. Well, Isaiah had a vision and a dream. He had dreams. And sometimes when we see these visions and have these dreams, oftentimes we need interpretation. But as I was studying, this is the only recorded vision that Isaiah had. Now, I stand corrected, but I believe that this was the only vision that Isaiah had, and it was very clear. It was a very clear vision, a presentation from God directly to him. You know how you can be sitting and watching television or a movie, and the vision is right in your face, the movie, and it's clear. You can understand what the movie is all about. Well, Isaiah had this vision, and I'm pretty sure it was just like us sitting watching a movie. But Pharaoh had visions. He had a vision once. Let me get my notes. Now, when he had a vision, he was dreaming, I think it was seven skinny cows and seven fat cows. And the seven, I'm going to say skinny so you understand, small cows, they ate the seven large cows up. Isn't that something? The seven small ones ate up the seven large ones. And Pharaoh, he didn't know what to make of it, you know. And he had to get an interpreter. And what did Pharaoh do? Because he didn't know what it was or what to make of it, how to get the revelation of it. So what did he do? He called Joseph. And Joseph was there to interpret Pharaoh's dream. And now at that time, Joseph was second in command. And it was after he had been in prison, but he was second in command. But God wrote a message on the wall. And I want you to listen carefully to this. God wrote a message on the wall where Belshazzar was the king in David's time. But the writing made Belshazzar very fearful. And I'm trying to make a point here. But he was so fearful that his knees began to shake. And the Bible says they began to shake together and bang against one another. Okay, I'm glad you want to find it in the Bible. I'm going to encourage you to turn to Daniel 4 and 6. Daniel 4 and 6. Then the king's countenance had changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosened, and his legs and his knees, smote against one another. Now, Daniel was the only one who could give the interpretation, even after Belshazzar asked the astrologers and the soothsayers what they could interpret from his dream. Now, we're talking about the dreams and the visions. We talked about King Uzziah. Then we talked about Pharaoh. Now we're talking about Belshazzar. Now, he went to the wrong people to try to get his interpreter, get the interpretation, the astrologers and the soothsayers. But the point that I'm trying to make and the point of the matter is this vision was pretty straightforward that Isaiah had. And Isaiah was put in the office of prophet from this encounter, after this encounter with this dream. See, there wasn't, it was the start, should I say, of prophecy from the Lord. But it was a new level for him with God. You know, sometimes God want to take us and do something new with us. He want to take us to a new level, to a new realm. That old level is it has passed away. You know, the word of God says to everything there's a season. So it was like a shift in the season. You know, sometimes God is shifting us into something new, something different, and God has to do what it takes to get us there. So it was a new level for him with God. Now we're talking about Isaiah. Now, as it took for him to try to understand this dream, this vision. And let me just share the vision with you. And I want you to go with me. Now, above it stood the seraphims. I want you to picture these angels. Now, each one had six wings. And they were in the twine, with the twine, it covered his face. And with twine, he covered his feet. And with twine he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, this is verse 2, and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth," and I want you to get it, "the whole earth," not just part of the earth, but "the whole earth is full of his glory." Now that's powerful enough for me right there. The whole earth was full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Now, we know the serpents are angels. Now, the serpents, let me tell you what the name actually means. I was looking it up, and the serpents actually come from burning. See, they were powerful beings, but still were not able to compare to God to any extent. But we find in Hebrews that men were below angels. And all throughout the epistle of Paul and Peter, we know that we will have a glorified body after death if the Lord Jesus is our Savior. We're going to have a glorified body. And I'm going somewhere with this. I want you to stay with me. But the angels actually come from the word messenger. Messenger, Jesus. In Greek, angelo. Now, in a very literal sense, they are messengers indeed. See, God sent them to sometime protect us. But after Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, because he was tempted, you remember when he was tempted in the wilderness, guess who was there? Angels was there. What did they do? They were ministering to him. Now, I could imagine, you know, that maybe they supplied him with food or you know, encouragement. And it's similar to what they did with Elijah. See, they came and they congratulated Elijah. The angels, Jesus. You know, I was talking with my sister today, and she was sharing with me that she saw this huge angel in her house. I'm here to tell you, angels are real. Angels are real. And I don't know if you've ever seen an angel before, but I pray that God allow you to see an angel. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing to see. It's a beautiful angelic force to see. And when my sister shared it with me today, oh, God, we both began to praise God. We both began to thank God because I'm telling you, these angels are assigned to us. See, the Word of God says that he have assigned angels. He have given them charge over us. Isn't that a powerful thing? Charge over us, my Lord. So that means that when we got something we need done, we can send the angel by faith and believe it to go and get our stuff. The angels will stop trouble, unseen danger. Yes. So we want to be keen in the spirit realm to be able to understand that angels are real. Angels exist. So be careful. You might be entertaining an angel. So don't take it for granted. You have to treat people right because you might be just entertaining an angel unaware. Yes, and you know, when my sister was saying that to me, it was just something about it when she said it. And I know I could hear it in her voice. But let me get back to the text. Now, I was talking about Elijah. The angels was there with Elijah, and they congratulated him. Now, let's go to the fifth verse. The fifth verse said, "Then when I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now, when Isaiah was in the presence, ha, korabo, she torabo sha, Jesus, he was in the presence of God. See, when Isaiah was in the presence of God, he only could see his faults more clearly, and he was ashamed. He realized that he was not worthy of being there, and he was a man of unclean lips. See, when we get in the presence of God, yokes are destroyed because of the anointing. You know, there's a sense of humility that comes, and God has a way of working those rough edges out of us the more we get in his presence. And that's why I like to encourage people to get in his presence through prayer, praise, and worship, because he'll clean you up. He'll fix the problem. He'll reveal some things to you, not about somebody else, but he'll reveal some things to you about oneself. What did Isaiah say? He said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." And then he went on to say, "And I dwell in the midst of people with unclean lips." So we all got some issues that we need God to clean us up. His cleansing power is needed in the body of Christ. Now, don't be deceived, because it is so. Let's go to verse 6. "Then flew one of the serpents unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the thongs off the altar." Jesus. "And he laid it upon my mouth." Let me talk about the angels. The serpent took it off the fire, the coals, and he put it on his lips, upon his mouth, I'm sorry. And he said, "Lo, this has touched my lips, and thou iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Glory to God. So no matter what the case is, if God wants you to do something, he will make you qualified if you allow him to. See, God won't give you more than you can bear. But guess what? God will give you what you need, and he'll keep on giving you more and more. He'll put his word in your mind and in his heart, and I mean in your heart. And you know, when we call on God, or when we have a call on our life and we call on God, God will answer us and he'll reveal things to us. And like Isaiah was talking about the serpent putting the coals from the altar on his mouth, it's like a continual fire burning. Now, what did that actually mean when he put that coal from the altar on his mouth? Now, I'm talking to the Lord, and I'm trying to display this to you so you can get it. It can be a symbol of a person sharing the gospel. See, the person shares the gospel. When you do, you realize that you're not worthy. You realize that you fall short of the glory of God. You realize that you don't have all the revelation. You realize that you need more God. You realize it, but you still, you're put in a place that you got to preach the gospel. You got to tell what's right, and we don't always do what's right. But we still have to tell the people what God is saying, and then so you feel so unworthy because you're telling them something that you need help with, and you're helping them, but somebody needs to help you, and but you still got to tell them. And I'll tell you what, as you share it with others, what God is telling you, and you give thanks to him for bringing them into the place of understanding, you're not far after, because you're putting your trust in God. You're being faithful and you're doing his will, and he's going to take care of you, and he's going to give you the revelation of what he wants you to do and what he's trying to tell you through the visions and the dreams. So we just keep on doing the work. We keep on doing the work. So as we share the gospel, and we thanking God that he have used us to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, and we know that Jesus is faithful, and he's just to forgive every sin that we committed or will commit, and he going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what the word is saying, from every unrighteous part of us. No matter how hidden those parts are, God know every secret in our hearts. And I'm trying to take you somewhere. I'm trying to get somewhere with this. I want to encourage you to turn to Hebrews. It's going to all come together in a minute. Father, we thank you. Hebrews 4 and 13. Hebrews 4 and 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. See, the closer we get to God in our relationship with him, the more we begin to hate sin, and we begin to realize what betrayal we have done to our master. See, we don't even have to get past looking at the fact of other people's sin. We get to the point where we are trying to get our lives together as we minister the word of God, and we begin to hate sin, and we realize that we have fallen short of God's glory, of the master's glory. See, the Lord is our master. I'm talking about our master. As we know, God never changes. And in the Old Testament, he he is referred to Adonai, which is literally master in Hebrew. Now there's a cleansing power in the kingdom of God. Not only cleansing, but God will empower us with power. And I don't want to sound redundant, but it's an understatement that God will give you and I much strength, that it can make your head spin. But you can look back on the tough times and be at awe how much God helped you out. When you really think about it, when you didn't know what to do, when you were burnt out, and God just, his grace is sufficient, how he just carried you. But you're still trying to do his work, and you realize that you need him more, and you need him much more. Now, verse 8 says, "And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." So we need to have a willingness to obey God in whatever he has us to do in whatever situation. Now, let me compare this to Isaiah. See, Isaiah, he was one of those unique prophets. See, many prophets, sometimes we make excuses to God about how we're not capable of doing the work, how, I can't commit to this, I can't do that, I can't say that, I can't go here, I don't know if I'm able to do it, but sometimes we just make excuses from doing the work that have been set before us. Let me use Moses as an example. See, Moses was concerned that he couldn't speak well in front of the people. And Jeremiah, he was concerned that he wasn't even experienced enough, that he was just too young. But Isaiah knew that he could do all things through Christ. He knew that he could do all things with enablement from his king, standing right in front of him. He was in his presence. See, we can do all things through Christ. We fall short, but he doesn't. See, he will empower us to do the work that he put before us. He'll give us strength that we need to be carried, and even for us to carry on his work. Because, see, without him, we're like a vine cut off from the rest of the tree. Can you imagine that? Only leaving us to wither. See, God won't let you or I, with the call of God on your life, get but so far away from him. And he also, God won't let you wither with his power. He won't let you crumble when the pressure is on. See, we have to trust God. We just keep our trust in him, and we'll go far in him and in life. See, sometimes we put our trust in people. And then God made it so that people gonna let you down. The word of God said, let God be the truth and man be a lie. But when we put our trust in God, we don't have this great expectation of people because we're trusting God. And sometimes it just seems like when people let us down, then sometimes we become little haters or against that person. Or, I thought he was this or I thought she was that. So we don't put our confidence in man. And then we don't have to go through that. Because when they flip the script on you, they're still God. He changes not. I'm trying to tell you something. Let's read verse 9. And he said, listen to this. He said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, rakorabosha, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand it with their heart, and convert and be healed. See, God missioned. Remember Isaiah said, I'll go, send me. But God had mission. He had a mission for Isaiah. And the mission for Isaiah was to present his message to the people, to them. See, God would destroy the city due to their disobedience to him in many cases. But people made their own idols and they bowed down to them. But many would hear the word and just wouldn't accept it. Or would just lean to their own understanding, or just be completely blind to the truth. So such is the case today. He wanted Isaiah to take that word, and he wanted him to be a messenger. But today we rather believe a lie than the truth. Sometimes we can be blind to the truth. You know, when you think about this realistically, if you try to climb up a vine and the branch break, your trust is in that branch, not breaking. But when we climb up the tree of Jesus, it's solid. The tree of eternal life through Jesus. We'll find ourselves with eternal life. We'll find ourselves with daily life until we die. But a good picture of Isaiah 44, where the picture of the carpenter is given. And you know the story. The carpenter, what did he do? He cut down trees with all his measurement. What did he use? The wood, and some he used what some for fire, and I think the rest of it he made idols. But then he bowed down to the idols, and he asked it to save him. Sometimes we just worship idols instead of God. Now we get into the interpretation of Isaiah's vision. Does he know that he was bowing down to a idol? In Isaiah 44, a block of wood, inanimated. He was bowing down to wood. In Psalms 115, you know, it talks about how the idols have eyes, but see not, have ears, but hear not. What is your idol? Have qualities, but have no living quality. They can save you more than a trash can lid. They can't save you. Now, we often have idols in our own life and don't even know it. But the Lord Jesus should be first in our life, in our hearts, and everything else would fail or fall into place. serving the Lord, it doesn't equate to a boring life. See, it should equate to an exciting one, beyond what you could even imagine. So we have to put ourselves around people that encourage us, that influence us to trust God with our situation. When we have a vision, to get the interpretation, to just trust God, He'll clean us up. When we get in His presence, when we seek Him and not things. Do you know of any idols in your life? See, His way and thoughts are way above ours, as far as the sky is above the ground. Now, Isaiah was cleansed in God's presence, and he was able to do what the Lord would have him do. No matter what the condition is, even as Isaiah was a man of unclean lips and dwelling with an unclean population of people, God will make a way for you to please Him. And He will bless you for your act of obedience, for being obedient to His word. Even if you're full of sin, unforgiveness, malice, even right now, you can choose to just come to Jesus. You could just come to Jesus right now. And He will cleanse you. He will make you whole. See, Israel was a sinful nation. Israel was sinful. And when Isaiah had that vision, it was one when he saw the angel the day that King Uzziah died, the day you gave up that sin, the day your idol was removed, the day that you got healed from that unforgiveness, the day King Uzziah died. What happened? The veil was high and lifted up. The train filled the temple. It was a glorious time because they were cleansed. And if you can see it as a metamorphosis, when you let it go, when you decide to be made whole and allow God to cleanse you, and even to myself, I'm talking to me first. See, sometimes we can be so full of unforgiveness and issues and think that we're okay. We're just going to ask God to cleanse us. No matter where we are, I'll tell you, our daddy can hear us. See, he hasn't given us condemnation. Sometimes the enemy, no, not sometimes, the enemy wants us to feel condemned. He wants us to feel that God won't forgive us. He wants us to think that even when we try to do good, that is not good enough. I want to encourage you tonight to let you know that your life can change by you opening up your mouth, by you allowing the King Uzziah to die Rekorabashi. And I see the Lord calling you in. Come forth. Come forth, man of God. Come forth, woman of God. I have need of you. Healing comes when we make that sacrifice. Protection comes. Favor comes when we do what we don't think we can do by accepting Christ. No matter where you are, God can reach you. He can touch you. He could create us, restore us, forgive us, heal us, empower us, strengthen us, make a way out of no way, give you joy, give you peace, and give you a purpose for living. He's a caring Father. He cares. And He have your best interests. See, when the people was in the upper room and were filled with empowerment of the Holy Ghost, they were empowered to do amazing things for the Lord. And although the book of Acts, miracles and conversions were all over the place, God had so much power. He had so much ability and authority, more than you could think. So make a commitment. Make a commitment tonight. Make a commitment today. Make a commitment this evening, wherever you are. Make a commitment this morning. Whatever He wants you to do, I'll tell you, it's the most fulfilling thing that you can do in your life. If you haven't accepted Christ and you want to be cleansed by the cleansing power of God, the cleansing power of the Holy Ghost, you want to be filled with His Spirit, you want the peace, you want the direction, you want purpose, you want to connect with Him, you're in the right place right now, doing the right thing. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Forgive my sins, Lord. Just tell them you believe. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you give eternal life to those who believe. I believe that Jesus died. I believe that He rose again, and I want to be part of the family of Christ. It's just that simple. It's not hard. It's not complex. And if you want to serve the Lord, just give it all to Him right now. Say, Lord, I want to serve you. I want to do your will for my life. Empower me to do whatever you want me to do in life. Tell them thank you. Thank you, Lord. I know there are promises in your name much greater than any sin can give me. In the name of Jesus. Amen. It's that simple. And I challenge you this week to tell every person that you talk to about the gospel. Who knows? Maybe they'll be a great prayer warrior one day for the Lord. He who has begun a good work in you, He's faithful. He's faithful to carry it out, to complete it in Christ Jesus. God is faithful. This is not the end. This is the beginning. This is your beginning. This is the new day. This is the fresh start. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that King Uzziah has died in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that even right now, Father, that you're moving by your Spirit in our life. Father, we thank you that we can hear you. We thank you, Lord God, that throughout the night as we sleep, Father, that you give us sweet sleep, sweet rest, and you move upon our heart and early high quarter abosha. Shall we seek you? Father, you said if we seek you early, that we will find you. We need you, God. There's no other God beside you. There's no idol, God. You're God. And you're God alone. You're God all by yourself. And there's no other God beside you. In the name of Jesus, it's just that simple. He's not a complex God. If you recited those words, I want to welcome you. I want to welcome you to the body of Christ. I want to tell you that you made the best decision of your life. If you receive them in your heart, confess them. I'm telling you, some things will change. Say, use me, Lord. Now, don't say, use me, and when he get ready to use you, you make an excuse. Tell him to use you. Tell him to put you where he wants you to be. Tell him to send you where he wants you to go. And he will do it. He is faithful. God is faithful. And I pray that you are blessed tonight. I pray that this word blessed you. I pray that your life shall never be the same. In the name of Jesus. Well, again, this is, you can go to our website, go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International. Let us know that you were touched by an angel. Let us know that you accepted Christ. Send us an email, kingdomdaughters1@yahoo.com. We'll be more than happy to embrace you, to pray with you, to fight in faith with you. Oh, yes, travail with you. Call us. We're on the prayer line 6 days a week. You can reach us by dialing 218-895-0280. Oh, yes, we're there 5 a.m. Central Time, Monday through Saturday. Central Time. Join us with prayer. Bring your prayer requests. Bring your praises, your praise report. Bring your testimony. There's some awesome women of God on the line. Want your request. Want the manifestation. Kingdom Daughters intercessors are on the wall waiting for your call. I like that. Kingdom Daughters intercessors are on the wall waiting for your call. We just want to encourage you again in the Lord. I want to make a brief announcement before we end the broadcast. We want you to join us. Join us for our Prophetic Intercessors Conference in the Detroit, Michigan area in Southfield location, which is right outside of Detroit, about 10 minutes away. We'll be there April 24th, 25th, and 26th. We'll be there with our annual Prophetic Intercessors Conference in the Detroit area. We want to invite you, we want to encourage you. You can go to our website, again, www.kingdombuildersplaza.org. You can register for the conference. Meet us there. We'll be more than happy to greet and meet and pray with you and take the classes and just be blessed of the Lord. And you can go to eventbrite.com and you can register on that website. Just type in Kingdom Daughters Prophetic Conference and you can register. Registration is $65 right now. I'll tell you, you don't want to miss it. And then we have a dinner theater, awesome, awesome dinner theater that's going to be on Thursday night. And it's going to start at 6:30. Our prophetic testimony are coming forth. We have prophetic poetry, praise and worship. You know, I'm excited. The baby's leaping in my womb. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can give us a call. Call us at 312-574-0212. Leave a message if you like to call and get information about the conference. We'll be more than happy to just give you all the information you need. Just want to give you an example of the classes that we're going to have. Introduction to Intercessor, Intercession, Worship and the Intercessor, the different kinds of prayer, what the pastor needs from the intercessor and what the intercessor needs from the pastor. We're going to be talking about the prophetic connection. You don't want to be weird. Intimacy with God. And I'm telling you, enter into the glory. Oh yes, hidden pain. And we have a few other classes. I want to encourage you, join us. We'll be more than blessed to have you. You need more information, give us a call. We'll be more than happy to accommodate you and getting there with all the information that you need. So again, we're about to end the broadcast, but we want to encourage you in the Lord. We want to let you know that after the April conference, we shall be in the Chicago, Illinois area in October. Chicago, Illinois, toward the end of October. It's in the planning stages. Keep us lifted up in prayer that the favor of God be upon us, that His glory drops down on us and even up and out of us. Oh, yes, the name of the conference, Refreshed, Renewed, Restored by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to release you. But once again, we thank you for this hour of power. We thank you that you joined in with us. We want to encourage you in the Lord. If you like what we're doing and you would like to sow a seed or even you would like to sponsor someone to come to the conference, you can go to our website. You can sow into Kingdom Daughters Intercessor. You can sow into Kingdom Builders International. You know, I am excited. Almost everyone in the ministry have a ministry. And our goal is to birth out this intercessor's headquarters, to birth out ministries, to birth out the people of God. That's the call. That's the assignment. You should be sowing in good ground. And even if you want to sow a monthly seed, we need your help. We ask $25 a month, and you'll be a partner with us. Make a commitment and partner with us so we can expand, so we can stay on the broadcast, so we can stay on the wall, so we can do these conferences, so we can get the headquarters, so we can birth out these ministries. We need your help. We want to encourage you to sow into the ministry. Make a commitment. If you'd like to get a follow-up call, just give us a call. We'll be more than happy to touch and agree with you. And on that note, we're going to end the broadcast. We want to thank you again for your faithfulness to God, for the love walk that you share with God's people. Father, we thank you. Father, we honor you. Father, we praise you. Father, we adore you. And we ask you, Father, that you will keep the people of God safe and sound, Lord God. We cover them with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that you're moving. We thank you, Father, that even right now, Father, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against us in judgment is already condemned. And we thank you, Father, that you have already covered the conference and even those on the line with the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we say amen and glory to God. Well, in closing, we just want to encourage you to reclaim your mountain. Reclaim it. God want to restore you. God want to renew you. God want to refresh you. God want to get you ready where you can run and not get weary. God bless everyone. Reclaim that mountain. Amen.